Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs,
and welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. An old chum, an old voice from the past, John. It is Christmas, isn't it? The ghost of Christmas past. Jonathan Beals, who was a regular back on the old Friday night kick about a million years ago. Came in as some kind of expert today. We were quite shocked.
I know.
But he was talking about gaming and a bit of Ipswich and other matters, so we quite enjoyed seeing him. We were also joined by Martin Kellner, as always, of a Friday, who talked us through a week of sport on TV with a special emphasis on one of his great loves, rugby league. He's very interesting on that. And we had a bit of a chat about various stuff, didn't we? I gave up on the top four publicly, as you'll hear. And that's just about it, isn't it?
Yep.
Here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Oh, good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. And I was watching on Amazon last night. I thought I'd try one of their innovations, which is stadium sound only. Tried it without Clive Tilson's commentary. And basically, it's like going to
Poor old Clive, a personal friend, and you cut his commentary out.
I did. But it's like going to a match on your own in a foreign country and no one speaks English. It's like you're just sitting there in the stand and you've got no one to speak
to. Mate, who crossed that? What's his name?
Honestly.
You know who most of the players are on that pitch.
I lasted about 2 minutes and then I went back to Clive and Alan. Yeah. Not Clive Allen, obviously.
No, not... Yeah.
But...
it was odd to hear Alan doing co-coms,
yes,
wasn't it?
It was a bit odd.
Yeah,
actually.
It was. I mean, I'm sure Martin will have his take on that. We're not used to it, are we? We're not used to him being riding shotgun like that.
But honestly, they're... We were saying there were 73
Alan Shearer,
people.
We should point out for those that weren't listening, sorry about
that. They hired 73 people to work on this, commentators and pundits.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a big operation. They wore all those games, didn't
You'd feel bad if you weren't one of the 73, wouldn't you?
You'd have a word with the agent, wouldn't you? Have a word with Brendan Rodgers' agent. Get that out there.
Not very good, but Arsenal looked like they were up the Amazon without a paddle, really.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Well, the first 10 minutes of the second half, thought, here we go. They get the equaliser, they're back in this, they'll bomb on now. And then they saw it again. Aaron Moy, what an inspired bit of business that was from Huddersfield.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic
really
last
well.
Night.
Was terrific. Absolutely true. Everything good about Brighton came through him. He really was.
He never fancied Arsenal or equalised, nor did quite a lot of the people in the ground who cleared out as soon as Brighton
just
got the
whole thing. It's
the
a mess. It's an absolute mess. Yeah. There's no question
about
it.
If it was me, John, if I were an Arsenal fan, I would want Arteta. I definitely would. If he turned up, he's going to be the man who's probably going to be the next City manager. So why not swipe him while you can? I think he'd be good for
He's got all the methodology. You know, if he's got the man management
skills.
He's
picked up some good habits, hasn't he?
But it's recruitment, the recruitment team and the backroom team and the ownership. There's so much wrong with the club. Yeah. You know, that you just think, it's not a job you'd actually want to be.
Well, you were absolutely spot on. If David Luiz and Gary Cahill were both available, which one are you going to go for if you're looking for a solid defender?
It's obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, so, and then as has been proved at Palace, really. I mean, they have made some very, very odd decisions.
Brighton are playing really well.
They are, knocking it about, aren't they?
Graham Potter's a pen and paper man like myself, but I think he needs a notebook. You don't want to be writing on sheets.
Because he's going to be starting to lose all those bits of paper.
But I watched a bit of the other game, and at the end, Almiron, I love watching Almiron, he's so funny. He got the ball, he's like running at the defence. You want him to score, you've got to go on, son, stick it in, go on. It was like a pathetic P-roller that Dean Henderson could have thrown his cap on. I felt Dean Henderson should have just let it in as a kind of public service.
Yeah.
But you know, they were losing anyway. He's not going to do that, would he? But where we are with VAR at the moment, the two linesmen last night, I mean, one doesn't stick his flag up and runs back to the line as if it was a goal with five people offside.
Yeah.
and the other one flags when, you know, when you're not supposed to. So where are we?
We did say, remember back in the day, we talked about this, and there was a game between Chelsea and Tottenham last season at Wembley in the League Cup, when the lino kind of went to put the flag, I think did, and then put it down again because realised it would, they were using VAR. But it's muscle memory for assistant referees.
Yeah.
It's difficult. They're always going to, in all their career, they've been asked to make split-second decisions and put their flag up when they think that, for them suddenly to put their arm down by
but
their
why
side.
Why didn't the bloke at Arsenal, why didn't he just flag after the thing?
He clearly didn't think it was offside, mate. It was a terrible call. He'll be looking at that really? Today, really. Or maybe he was just waiting for VAR to sort it out. He thought, I'm not sure. Well, I'll let VAR sort it out.
It was a mess. Absolutely mess. But do you know what did happen last night? I don't know if you remember the incident where my wife tried. It's this time of year when my wife likes to re-gift a few items.
Yeah, and she's done it before. Can you want to tell us about the previous?
Well, the previous one was that.
So she's a queen of the re-gifters, isn't she?
Well, she basically tried to re-gift.
Noel Re-Gifton Williams, she's known as in the dressing room.
She tried to re-gift a book to the same person who got Best Wishes Andy, the 10-year-old from Eamon Holmes' biography with the inscription Best Wishes Andy.
So she gave Eamon Holmes' 10-year-old biography to someone else with your name in it.
Yeah.
That's class, isn't it?
Class.
Yeah.
So she says, I found this book for X. So I said, okay.
Well, they know they're going to get it.
So I said, if I was you, I'd check just to see if there's not an inscription inside. Best wishes. Happy birthday.
To Andy?
No, to her.
Oh, okay. It was a book to her. To Sue, happy birthday.
Something like that.
If you got that, how insulted would you be?
Very insulted.
Oh, that's not anyway. Good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. And have you read the piece with Andros Townsend? And I think very brave. And
yeah.
I mean, I think when a player's still playing the game, especially one time respected like him, to go out and you know, it says so much. You can spend a lot of time with young footballers telling them about the evils of gambling and the issues of gambling, but for one pro like that to say, you know, I was in bits. I was
quite
so
shocking.
I was so
it?
Pleased I got
46
caught.
Grand.
He said the best thing that ever happened to him was the FA catching him. You know, 46 grand in a night. He did. Couldn't sleep on the eve of a game because he'd basically done £46,000. And, you know,
he got into it quickly, didn't he?
Yeah.
Got a grip on him quickly as well.
That's right. And, you know, it just proves it can happen. You know, he's a good kid. We know his dad, don't we?
Sure.
Troy, of course. And it can just happen to anybody. They can get sucked into this world. So I'm sure it's going to help a lot of young players, a lot of people in football and beyond, to hear someone like him talk about that so frankly. So well done to Andros. That's excellent work.
And on a lighter note, this is a new thing that they're doing in China. I think they've done it in other places as well. It's a smartphone lane for pedestrians who are glued to their device as part of a safety drive.
Hmm.
So they've like padded lampposts. And the people who do this are called smartphone zombies.
Oh, really?
So if you're walking along down the road, and you're sort of so absorbed in your smartphone, you just walk into somebody. I find that the people, it's almost like a bat. They've got a kind of sonar. They look like they're going to walk into you.
Yeah.
Because I deliberately don't change my course. I'm hoping that to knock the phone out of their hand.
They walk into you.
But they always just sense you in the last minute and swerve out the way.
Really? Maybe they've got an app that does that. It's like those things that go around with the drinks in Yo Sushi.
Good point.
This is a survey. Mm. Yeah, and it says the average adult can manage 5 nights out in a row before they need a night in to recover. It depends how old you are.
Yeah, I think
you're fine. If you're 18, 19 or whatever, fine. When you're getting to my age, not a chance. I mean, we often go on a bit of a football gentleman's, and we used to make these things 4 nights and we'd still be rocking by night 3. Now, if everybody says, just do a couple of nights, shall we? We used to get like the 10 o'clock at night flight back on the third day. It's like, oh, should we get the 8 in the morning? We know what it's like that third day. Everybody sits there nursing a pint looking at each other. Everybody's been there, haven't they? It all does come down to age. We should thank Beryl Blick once again, first with the Christmas card.
Oh, well done, Beryl.
To Paul and Andy, have a lovely Christmas and a fantastic 2020. Beryl, of course, she's normally cruising. This time I'm in on a ship, obviously. She's normally cruising at this time of year. So have a great cruise, Beryl. Hope you have fun, and thank you very much for the card. As always,
excellent.
Have you got anything else?
I have, but then I won't have anything for the next section. But
we haven't got another. I think that's it. Isn't it?
Oh, is it?
You're
okay.
Done.
Let's keep going.
You've just gone. Everything must go. Andy.
I like this one. A flip flop fan, Rachel.
Who's a flip flop fan?
Come on, you flip flops. Have Iannas. That's her. She's always singing it.
Yeah.
She's got an advent.
She's got an advent.
Slow down. Advent calendar from husband Neil, 46.
Yeah.
Filled with 25 new pairs of her beloved footwear in Morton Wirral. So you're not buying them for
her. One thong. You've only got one thong. As Alan would say,
very
no doubt. Deeper depth. We asked about Noel Regifton Williams, your missus. She's known for regifting at this time of year.
Well,
we
only asked, by me and the listeners.
We asked for some.
Obviously not the people.
She's
who get
famed
the
for it. We were
famed
asking.
Headband.
Yeah, I received a birthday card from my auntie and uncle. Says Dave to Gary, crossed out. David.
Oh, no.
Crossed out Gary and then put David on it.
Oh,
nice,
bad,
isn't it?
Isn't it?
This is a good one from Gab Cancello. My mate gave me an awesome Wells biography for Christmas. It was great with me being a big film fan. I politely pointed out to him it was actually my book that I'd lent to him a year before. That's got to be the
that's
worst.
That's the worst.
It's actually your own
top that.
At least the other way you're getting a gift. It's actually your own book, isn't it, that someone's giving back to you. That is pretty terrible.
Very poor, really.
Yeah, that's right.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We turn out of the world of gaming and other Christmas matters, and a man who was a regular fixture on the show back in the day, who knew that he would come back to us as a self-styled expert. He always was, and I'm taking the mickey, he always was an expert. Jonathan Beals, good to see you, Jonathan.
Yeah, good to see you to you guys as well. Paul and Andy in the studio.
People will know that voice, won't they, from Saturday afternoons on Sky.
Yeah. Do you know what?
Yes, Jeff.
I haven't seen you guys for ages, and I'm pretty much the same, just older and fatter.
Now, Jonathan, we're going to talk about Christmas gifts, aren't we? And the fact that they don't have a particularly long lifespan generally.
Well, apparently so. The research states that a gift for people around the age of 30 only has a lifespan of around about 6 months,
right,
which isn't very much at all. You know, you got a lot of gadgets over the years, like your bread maker, your smoothie maker. Apparently the soup maker is the one this year.
Really? Soup maker.
Yeah,
soup maker.
Soup maker for me is a tin opener and a microwave. And that's a far better thing. So I think, you know, we're always bombarded with a lot of choice. Where, you know, things start in August, where you're going to the supermarket and they're putting up the crackers, the Christmas crackers and the decorations, and it all builds to like a pre-sale and Black Friday.
You can't put up the crackers. Well, get them out.
Well, you can.
Do you spend a lot of the time putting up crackers?
Well, you know, you can put up the crackers. You can put them up on the table. You put them up on the Christmas table.
For me and my family, it's always, but Christmas really starts with the putting up of the crackers.
Well, you know.
I think hope crackers is listening this afternoon.
He will be,
I might be putting him up this Christmas.
Titch and crackers.
Very good.
So it can kind of builds in, and I think with technology now, there's a lot of stuff which can go obsolete quite quickly.
But you have the answer to that, Jonathan.
Well, very much so.
You and your good friend.
I had this flashback. I feel like we're on Friday night.
I did.
Yeah, this is a kickabout all over again.
Yeah.
I do have the answer because Xbox have come up with something which gives a bit of longevity to your item.
Okay.
I mean, in the past, as we've known, where you previously bought yourself a console, you have to lump out for the console about £200.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to buy all the games at £40 a pop. And now with games, everything's about the internet connectivity. So you've got to pay your subscription fee, which can be anywhere, you know, between £15 and £20 a month. So what Xbox have done is they said, right, okay, what we're going to do now is that we'll do it in a similar way to you get your mobile phone. So when you get your mobile phone subscription, you essentially pay for over 2 years, you get a contract, you pay a small amount. Because if you bought your mobile phone in isolation, you'd probably have to pay around about £1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So Xbox has said, right, what we're going to do, we're going to lump the console together, the games together, and the online connectivity. And they've come up with something called Xbox All Access. So you go to any game store, you pay just under £18 a month for 2 years, and you get a console, all your connectivity, and 232 games to play.
Blimey.
Which is a lot. And I think if you want to give a gift to somebody, then that is quite substantial. Do you still play your games, Paul?
Not really, since Horace Goes Skiing.
And I have to say, I'm having trouble concentrating on what you're saying, Jonathan, because I've been playing Fortnite non-stop for 6 weeks.
Yeah, now, the thing is, I mean, we did talk about Fortnite.
He beat Dele Alli last night, didn't you?
I did.
But you decided not to become a pro, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah.
This does go back to what we always used to say. You were a sage, Jonathan. You said there will be a day when there'll be stadiums full of people watching other people play games.
You did say that.
And you knew, Joe. You knew this was going to take off.
Well, it's very kind of you. I had an inkling. I remember going to a Grand Prix in '98 and sitting around the table. I was doing a lot of work there. We were doing like the video game side of it. And I said to people, I remember on the night before saying, you know, I think there's going to be maybe like a league one day where people will all compete in the races. And lo and behold, here we are in 2019, and esports is a really big thing and a competitive thing. So,
are you a guy? I mean, you know a lot about Olympics, the industry. You work in the industry, but are you good? Are you good at playing the games? Are you a good gamer?
No, in all honesty.
Really?
You see, the thing is, it's like if you play something like Call of Duty, or if you play an online game against other people, you've got, or even Fortnite, other people are on there. They're so much better because they have the time to practice and everything else. I don't really get the time to practice, in all honesty, even though I enjoy them. So what I enjoy the games against the computer where you play in the campaign. So you're playing in like a film, you're playing like a story mode. I enjoy FIFA.
Yeah.
I enjoy Pro Evo. I enjoy the sports games, the racing games. They're absolutely fantastic. But when you're playing online, you're playing against people who've put a lot more hours in it.
Yeah.
And
so you just get thrashed.
You get thrashed.
Can't you kind of set a level? Can't you you kind of go into like Division 4? Oh, no, you can't do that.
No, you can't really do that because you dive in, you jump in, and that's it. Like playing Fortnite. I played Fortnite a few times, and you go in, you know, you go in on the bus, you parachute in, you land in the building, you look around, you think, oh, there's a weapon, great, I'll start moving around, and all of a sudden somebody comes up behind you and you're out of it. You think, oh, I can't be bothered anymore.
But listen, this is a piece in the paper yesterday. Almost half of men claim gaming is as skillful as football, with the over 40s making up half of players, the study says. See, that's an interesting...
Absolutely true. It is over 40s. You see, people think it's a kid's thing. You know, it's all child in a man's body, as he once said.
your regular feature on gaming.
People think it's all little kids. But it's actually not, because the biggest games, i.e. something like Grand Theft Auto, Call of Duty, they're all over 18. You've got to be over 18 to buy them.
Sure.
And this has been the thing for quite a while now. And even, you know, people who were playing Horace Goes Skiing and all the stuff back in the day on the 8-bit
Frank
Spectrum.
Frank Bruno Boxing.
On the Spectrum was great.
Game.
Wireframe Boxing.
What a game.
Matt Hayes Fishing, still the only game I've ever played.
Yeah, Matt Hayes. You know, people who played back in the day, like music and football.
Yeah.
You went to football 30 years ago.
That's true,
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Still going to football now. And it's the same in gaming, it's the same in music. And gaming, gaming has kind of evolved through as well. And what Xbox have done, I mean, the consoles have been around for like 42 years now.
Wow.
Which is quite a while. And nobody's ever done it in the way, nobody manufacturers ever sold it in a way that you can buy a little bit at a time where you can just pay a small amount. You always had to like lump out £200 or £300 and think like, here I go, what am I going to get? And then you'd have to buy everything else on top.
What are your top three games then for Christmas? If people listening have got to get a game in. And we were talking to Miles about some Football Manager. But so much of it now that the nans, they actually want a box. They want a physical box to give to the grandson or granddaughter. Yeah. Whereas so much of it is just downloads. You know, that makes it quite difficult as a gift, doesn't it?
It does as a gift, I think. I mean, you can buy... People do actually buy, people will go into shops and to stores, they go into game, and they will buy a digital download card.
Yeah.
Where you
That's
think.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and so they can gift that. Or they
want something tangible. I said they're used to giving gifts like that rather than saying, oh, I bought you this.
You've got a second hand one my wife can give to someone.
Signed by somebody else, signed by Eamon Holmes.
I've always been a big fan of the gifting, and something like Football Manager is great because you know they've done it for years and years and years, and it's something you can give like a book rather than a little code and everything else. But I mean, what Xbox have done, in fairness, is that they've put 230 odd games essentially packaged with the console and controller and all the online stuff for like £230. And that's so 230 games for £17 a month.
Yeah.
Great value.
Quickly though, I've got to do this.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit of nostalgia time. Quick game of the answer is Ipswich.
Yeah, okay. Can you now? You're an Ipswich.
I've got a question.
We should talk about the Ipswich credentials first.
Yeah.
Jonathan, I think one of the last times we spoke to you was for you to say Paul Lambert was a dud and you didn't want him back.
You ruined me question.
Oh, okay. Well,
You weren't
question. Massively keen on Paul Lambert,
no,
were you?
No. I mean, League One, in all honesty, it's not a great quality league, with the greatest respect to the other teams. Wickham are doing well. Portsmouth are starting to kick into gear now.
Peterborough, is this how you can go and see Adrian after this? Peterborough doing well.
Peterborough. I mean, I did the Gillingham Peterborough game, and it was one of the worst games of football I've ever seen. They could not.
Peterborough, are they all that? 08717.
Great recommendation.
Not great, and they couldn't. They couldn't. Nobody had any possession in midfield. They couldn't pass it around. So there's not a lot of quality in the league. Ipswich, in fairness to Paul Lambert, he has done well. And he hasn't really spent any money, and they're pushing on.
Yeah,
they're in second spot. Wickham atop, Coventry at the weekend. An interesting game, possibly a draw, but I think it's better to sit in second and then maybe make a push towards the end of the season.
You doing a game for Jeff tomorrow?
I'm not doing Jeff tomorrow.
You're
no.
not. Yeah, no. Okay. But you often are around the Colchester.
Yeah,
you're often
very
that
much
sort of
South End, Millwall, Gillingham, yeah. London in the South is pretty
beautiful. So listen out for Jonathan. Good to see you after all this time. Thanks for popping
in.
The question, definitely.
Which team is managed by Paul Lambert, who was not wanted by certain fans?
Oh, okay, yeah, without mentioning any names. That's the question, and the answer is Ipswich. There's no prize, just a bit of fun.
The answer is Ipswich.
Well done, tremendous.
Well done, congratulations.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Of course, that music signals the arrival of squad number 9, Martin Kellner, to give us his week of sport on TV. And we had double helpings this week because you joined us on Wednesday, didn't you, to kind of reflect on the first night of Amazon Prime. It would tell us about your old cathode ray telly.
My little telly. Well,
you
actually,
used to bang on the top.
It's a big telly. I haven't quite worked out yet how to get Amazon on that. And I think that will be... Yeah. There's a thing you can get, a stick.
Stick, of, yeah, you can get a little fire stick. Yeah,
a stick in.
But, a Harvey, as Andy calls it, Harvey fire stick.
Yeah, Harvey fire stick.
It was funny that you were talking about 3D football, though, because it was the big thing, wasn't it? I remember watching the Masters on 3D and Sky, which
golf worked.
Golf did.
You used to get the old depth.
The football was really... I remember watching the cup final between Manchester United and Manchester City and Stoke.
Yeah.
It gave me the worst headache. It really was quite difficult.
It never really took off. It felt a bit... It never got beyond gimmicky, did it? I fell for it. I had a sort of one. I had to sit there with the 3D glasses watching football, but it didn't last, did
no,
it, really?
No, not at all. And it was never going to. I mean, the only time it came to life was when the coach kicked the water bottle over.
Yeah, you needed those things. I'd say you needed Jose Mourinho to do a bit of bat and ball, like that film House of Wax. Remember the Vincent Price film that was 3D and it had lots of pointless gimmicks? They put things in the film that you'd never see in a film.
Precisely. obviously.
It's for that reason, you know. Yeah.
Anyway, everything I said to you the other day about rugby league,
yeah.
Because I phoned up the... I spoke to someone from the RFL.
Remind us what you did say about rugby league, for those not listening, which I find hard to believe.
That Sky... Yeah. I find that very hard to believe. That Sky are not... They're certainly not going to... there's an eight-year deal with Sky, which ends at the end of 2021. So it ends at the end of 2020 season, 21 season, which is next season. And they're not going to... It was an eight-year deal. It was quite a lot of money. And Sky have said they're not going to renew it anything like the same money.
Right, OK.
So they're going to lose a load of money. And at the moment, there's no deal. There is absolutely no deal.
So they are potentially... They're putting the feelers out. Is that what you're suggesting? They're casting their net wide, rugby league.
You think BT, they do quite a lot of rugby union? You think they might...
I think they're trying every single thing possible, as far as I can gather, because it's absolutely vital to rugby league. So there's no Super League deal at the moment. Toronto, meanwhile, they've got Sonny Bill Williams, who's obviously worldwide a big attraction.
Sure.
So they're talking about with independent producers about producing their own content.
Right.
And so you might be able to see that they're in Super League now, Toronto.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So you might be able to.
We spoke to John Wilkin the other week about it, who plays for them as well. Of course.
Yes. Mm. Does. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but Sonny Bill Williams is the big attraction for them, obviously. So they may be able to independently produce their own content and sell that somewhere.
The thing is, the interesting thing is, it's not just Sky. It's not just the pictures they broadcast. It's the coverage they bring to it. And it's I think a lot of people have got into rugby league because of the way that Sky do it. The game itself, in terms of production values, they're going to have to keep that up, aren't they? Because, the game keeps suffering.
Well, that is the problem. It's what it costs in the way of production.
Yeah.
They're looking very closely at this Amazon Prime experiment, because that's shown that people will watch television, will watch televised football that isn't 55 cameras and isn't HD, et cetera, because in a way, it's changed the way... sport is broadcast, because for years it's just been when we talked about 3D, that was going to be the thing, and then it's BT UK Super HD, etc. And when you were watching on Amazon Prime the other night, it was none of that stuff, was it? It was just it was a perfectly decent picture most of the time, unless you were buffering a little bit.
Football and the Premier League is a bit of a global brand, so you can see the appeal of the streaming companies. As much as I love rugby league, it's hard to bracket it in the same way. So it might be a slightly tougher sell.
It's going to be a tougher sell, definitely. Yeah. So, one thing that this guy I was talking to was, in confidence, was telling me, is that there was a programme that was on Yorkshire TV and Granada years ago called Rugby League Raw. I remember hearing about that, which was basically before people were being mic'd up in football and rugby union and everything. It was the first time players were mic'd up, coaches were mic'd. You got more access to to everything that was going on than you ever got in any other sport.
Yeah.
And don't forget, rugby league is a tough sport, played by tough men who don't necessarily moderate their language all the time. Therefore, all those people, when they're doing a commentary on the telly and say, "We apologise to anybody who was offended by the language just used," well, if you're one of the people who are not offended by the language, rugby league raw.
That would be a USP. If you're selling that to a broadcaster, say, this is the sport in the raw, you hear everything that goes on. I mean, you hear from the refs already, but the idea that you could hear from the players and there was that much more involvement in it, you're often in the dressing room anyway.
In the dressing room,
you could hear what was going on.
There's a guy, I'm told, who's a former Sky producer who's looking at putting together a package of just below the top level rugby league, getting complete access areas.
That's interesting.
And making it as an actual programme.
Right.
So it's a way to watch tough men playing a tough sport. Yeah. I suppose in a way, it'll be a bit like the sort of WWE type stuff, except it'll be for real.
Well, the sport is big in Australia, obviously, isn't it, as well? So that's the other big area for rugby league.
Well, it is, but I assume they have to do... They're not... that, as far as I can gather, they're not that interested in buying British rugby league. Right. They'll take it from Sky.
Yeah, yeah.
But it seems to be a trend that what Channel 4, Channel 5, those sort of channels, would like free content. If you could offer them, you know, a rugby league package which you produced within the sport, really, there's a chance of
the
selling
BBC
it.
The BBC Highlights show is very good. I always enjoy
BBC
that.
BBC Highlights
that's,
is good.
That, that's excellent. The roundup, the magazine show.
It is. So, well, all those things are up in the end, so nobody knows. So there is no Sky deal.
Time for this sport.
It's a very crucial time.
It is,
for,
yeah. Great sport.
It's
so
a great
whatever,
sport.
You kept your eye on Amazon Prime.
I certainly did. I watched the, obviously watched West Ham on the second night. I didn't watch it last night.
Yeah.
I meant to watch it last night, but
limp,
I
was the word we used earlier on for your lot. It was a bit of a limp performance, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
It's not the word you used by the look of it. the only one you could use at this time of day.
Well, they're so slow.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, everything that, they've got, you know, Felipe Anderson, they've got great players, but they do the flicks and tricks.
Antonio is key.
You said this last time, and proved it on Wednesday night. But, you know, not to go too deeply into the problems at West Ham, it does seem that they reflect the manager's personality in a way, which is sort of calm and unhurried, and, you know, 24 passes, and then they give the ball away in midfield. It was just... I was flipping between that and the derby, you know, Liverpool-Everton.
Yeah.
And not only were Liverpool playing much faster than us, so were Everton. You know, Everton looked
like...
Maybe
it was more buffering in the Wolves people talked a lot about the fact there were no innovations, but they did do the win probability thing, which was borrowed from cricket. Sky's Wasp. You remember Wasp?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, not...
That was, there weren't many innovations, but, you know...
That was about the only one I could see.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
That
was
stats available.
But I think they went the right way in that they got the, you know, they got the proper people doing it, the commentators. I mentioned Peter Drury.
So it was good to see Jim back in the studio. He did Jim Rosenthal did the Spurs Manchester United. It was good to have him back doing football, actually.
Yeah, it's always good to see Jim Rosenthal. He's a quality act.
Yeah.
The you know, he's sort of I always used to take the mickey out of him when I did the column in the Guardian. Mm. He was always very good about it. So,
He's got a thick skin.
A good man. I also watched the FA Cup to see that. I mean, obviously watched the draw, which was quite interesting. You know, just to see which lower league team is going to beat us this year, Gillingham, I see. But I watched the FA Cup, which is interesting because they saw. They have a lot of radio commentators doing it. In fact, they used the Exeter Hartlepool highlights. Mm. They used Radio Devon's commentary.
Oh wow!
And it does sound bizarre when you hear a radio commentary on the telly.
You may have heard the dulcet tones of our producer occasionally. He's done a little bit of radio commentary on Talking. And I think he's a bit close though. There's the frightened that he might using the word limp. He may go over the edge in terms of commentary.
Well, this is Exeter, of course, who are the enemy.
Yeah.
And they said. I can't remember who the commentator was, but we're talking about the possibility of a replay.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously Exeter Hartlepool is a hell of a trip.
Of course, it certainly is.
Yeah, and she did say Hartlepool's going to be a difficult place to go, especially on a Tuesday night. And I can't see what happens in Hartlepool on a Tuesday night that makes it a really difficult place to go to on a Tuesday night.
Specifically on a Tuesday night
in Hartlepool.
Yeah.
Because they will say that.
Maybe she knew about planned roadworks just outside of Hartlepool.
Possibly.
For next Tuesday.
But having said that, you know, at the moment they're going around the country interviewing all sorts of people about the election.
Yeah.
And they interviewed some people in Teesside, which would cover Hartlepool.
Mm.
And she was moaning about some shops being knocked down to build a car park that had a view of the... I'm getting there, don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
Would have a view of the River Tees.
Nice.
And her quote, and there's the exact quote, she says... What do we want a view of the River Tees for? The Tees is minging. The Tees is minging. And I don't know whether that sort of reflects the Tuesday night. And
she'll be signing copies of her news book, The Tees is Minging.
The Tees is Minging, that's exactly.
In Waterstones in Hartlepool next week. Yeah. Martin.
Is that it? I can't tell
you. You got time for a real quick, very, very quick one.
Dion Dublin, Homes Under the Hammer. He was one of the experts there, and my son did direct me to the stairs going up to the bedroom. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Just in case... So nobody ever seen it. I was killing myself. Very, very funny.
Have you seen Stairs?
No, I don't know.
Dion, he does say that quite a lot.
It's on YouTube.
put together on YouTube a sequence of Dion saying the stairs go all the way up to the bedroom. Yeah. Well, I mean, he had to leap the last three or four feet of the stairs.
No, they go all clamber up to the bedroom.
Clamber up the final few stairs every time you went to bed. Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We return next week with, join us in the studio, Carl Hakimi, chatting about his new book. Jack Savaretti, fine musician. Sam Gowland, Borough supporting Geordie Shaw regular. And there was somebody else who was really good. Who was it? Can you remember? I'm looking at the producer. There was one other person who was on that list.
It was.
Was it Pele? It wasn't Pele.
I tell you, he's going to come back Monday.
Who's that?
Sockley Park.
So, oh, great to see Sockley Park.
He's going to defend his title.
Our old mate. Oh, Laugh for Laffle's coming in. Yeah, yeah.
And Sockley Park in Don't Ask Me.
Good. Okay. Brilliant. Don't touch that dial. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.